In this episode of She Talks Tech, we talk about the art of self-promotion with Priya Sodhia, founder and CEO of Innergem. So why should we self-promote? Because if no one ever hears your story, how can they open up doors of opportunity for you? Self-promotion isn't about bragging or boasting. It's about the confidence to put your hand up and articulate what you're capable of. In this session, Priya helps us to understand the art of self-promotion and the impact it can have on your career. So what are you waiting for? It's time to toot your own horn. Tune in with Priya and find out how.
I'm so excited to find out a little bit more about you. So tell me a little bit about where life began. Your school, your education, tell me about that journey.
So I did most of my education and my undergrad in India, grew up in India. And after I finished my graduation, I got a job to come to US as a software engineer. So I'm a family of two girls who grew up in India, which is predominantly, and even today, a very patriarchal society. So my mother was super important for her to actually make sure that we are well-educated and financially not dependent on anybody else, but our own self. So I'm super thankful to all the stars aligned, and I was able to take a job in the US. And that's not something I ever envisioned. I wanted to stay home in India and be a housewife, but life changes. So that's my early life into software engineering. And then I spent predominantly all my life in the US until I took a job recently to come to Sky and my first ever job in London. So far I'm having a great time.
That's an amazing story. I'm going to take you back.
Okay.
So what did you actually study at university in India?
So I had an undergrad in electrical engineering. I'm someone who grew up in, I told you, I grew up in a household of two girls. I want to tell a little bit about, I've always been an underdog because I've always been in the shadow of my sister, who's always very successful. So my undergrad, I did engineering. I had a very challenging school because it's a very incredibly, very tough school. So one of the things, Vanessa, I believe in and I bring to this day as a leader into the organization and every person I interact with is when you are an underdog and always believe in second chances and always compassionate about people who try very hard. So perseverance is one of my virtues. And I bring this today with every job, everything I come to do. So I never give up. My team will tell me how optimistic and energetic I am whenever I bring that to work. So,
but also very brave, getting on a plane to a completely different country at a very, very young age. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh my God, I got to convince prior to boarding on a plane. I got to tell you, Vanessa, I had to convince my parents. So this is, you're talking in the early 90s when it is hard for sending a girl from an Asian country all the way all by myself. Think about the time that we didn't have cell phones. So an international phone call would cost you like $4 or $5 in those days, right? Very tough decision for my family, right? So to send a girl who was not married in an Asian family was very tough. So I had to convince a lot to my parents why this was so important to me. I was so excited about the opportunity. And I said, look, again, talk about second chances. And I was not very successful in my school career, in my school, meaning my university career. And I said, look, somebody has given me an opportunity to go and work. And I did. And one of the things, these are all looking back, I made the right choices. So I just have been lucky, I would say. I did my first programming class in my 10th grade, all because I chose it because I didn't like to take biology because I couldn't draw a single straight line. And hence, I took basic programming in my 10th grade that allowed me to take additional courses in programming in my college that led me to this software engineering career. Way back when I started, this was a boom of tech in the US. So I got a chance to go get on my first plane and I was so nervous.
Oh, bless you. I've just got this vision of you, like, you know, this young girl, like going into this completely unknown country into this job. So tell me about that first job.
So I landed all the way from Chennai. I took a flight through Frankfurt, through Lufthansa into Los Angeles, which is one of the biggest cities in the US. And I was so fascinated, Vanessa, looking at, if you ever come to Los Angeles, the number of cars that go on a road, like the Route 5 is one of the famous roads in Los Angeles, which you have like six or seven lanes. And I was like fascinated seeing that. Oh my
God. Very different from Chennai, right?
Very different. Neither could I drive, right? So I didn't know how to drive. And I was working for this company called Cisco, which made not the router or the telecommunications company, but they made warehouses of meat production. And Cisco, which starts with S-Y, as CEO, right?
Yeah. Cisco.
They're based in Texas. I remember this gentleman who came to my first meeting and talked to in a Texan accent, and I could hardly understand him. But look, fortunately, I was an English-speaking person, so it was easier to assimilate. But one thing that stuck with me, no matter which job or whoever I work with, I give 500% to any job I do. And that's how I carried through, and I learned from people, right? People fascinate me, Vanessa. When I look around the table and I say, who really speaks really well, right? What can I learn from them, yeah. right? Do they speak well? Do they work well? So very early on, I picked up a lot of trait and good things from people, whether it's about working very intelligently, working smartly. And that's something even today I learned. I mean, we had been talking prior to this, and like I said, what can I learn from Vanessa, right?
Oh, so I think it's really interesting because obviously having worked in the UK, the US and India, and likewise, I think it's very much a baptism of fire in the US, isn't it? Because it's very fast paced. It's very just get it done. So probably quite a good grounding for you to start to kind of be in that environment. So you kind of adapted to that culture, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Look, right or wrong, like I got molded in a US-centric working culture because very young, very early on, that's the only way I know. So it's always urgency to execute. And we always talk about in Asian culture, you want to make sure that people are bought into the idea or strategy you're moving forward with before you start to work on it. Whereas US culture is very biased for action. Let's go get it done. Let's go, right? Sometimes I have to pause myself in a culture or even because I manage very global organizations. So when I go in and talk to teams, I have to pause myself and ask, what am I coming across? How are teams perceiving me? Because I come from a very driven culture growing up in the US.
Just on that note, would you advise if anyone had the opportunity to go and work in a different country? Is that something you'd advise them to do?
Yeah, definitely. It's at the end of the day, we're all in a people business, right? Yeah. So try to understand the context of the people who you're working with. It could be really a male-dominated industry or male-dominated environment that you're going in. Ask yourself how you're coming across and appeal to the audience who you're working with. I always, one thing that I look for, a win-win in any situation. So I always try to put myself in the shoes of the person and who am I talking to. It could be a male, it could be someone from who's running a market president. What is in it for them in the conversation? That way I learn a lot about them and it's a very enriching conversation when you go there.
You have worked in very male-dominated industries and professions. Have you ever struggled to kind of get your voice heard in the loudest of rooms?
Yes, so absolutely. So I've worked in predominantly prior to this in a male-dominated financial services industry. Especially more my younger part of my career has been in Boston, which is very male-dominated. And I would say in financial services, you have the alpha male-dominated environments where these are portfolio managers, high-stress environment, which you can relate to, Vanessa, from your days in this industry. And there's been most oftentimes you're in a room where you're the last one to speak. Everybody else has spoken before you even have a chance to even find an inch to speak in between. Look, I turned that around. It used to depress me or it used to be like, how come I'm not given a voice? Part of the times, remember, Vanessa, I come from a different culture. I'm also not just a woman. I'm a brown woman. Sometimes you take this personally. Yeah. Like to say, is it about me? Something of the way I dress, something the way I look, the way I speak, my accent. My children still seem to think I have a little bit of an Indian accent. So all these are, you don't know what the unconscious bias is coming across from your colleagues. So I turned that around and started to think, maybe I need to listen more. It gave me an opportunity to listen more to my colleagues. And I started to figure out that even if I'm the last person to speak, I'll speak for a very short time, but a very important one that adds value. Yeah. I don't need to be the loudest person in the room. I don't need to be the person who dominates a conversation in the room, but I can speak three or four words or in a small sentence, but it makes sense, right? My thinking started to be very different. I needed to be more impactful rather than always clogging the conversation in the room, right? Yeah. So I changed my style.
I think you make some very valid points there because more often than not, that people think, you know, the loudest person in the room is the one with the biggest and the brightest ideas. But sometimes it's people that are slightly quieter, perhaps more introverted, that, as you say, wait for their moment to speak but are very poignant with their message. So yes, for people listening, you know, and any particular leaders, I think it's something that they should be mindful of. Who are those voices in the room?
You know, very interestingly, you said that, right? So I heard from a woman who spoke that to say, like, by the way, this is not very unique to me. This is very common among women who have been in similar situations. There's one woman who told me that in order to be heard, and she said her voice is not very booming, she has a very soft voice, she couldn't get a word into the conversation. So what she did was she actually stood up and walked to the other side of the room to pick up, and everybody looked at her, and she used that opportunity to speak. So a lot of women have figured out a way how to get their voice heard in the room in similar circumstances.
And I love it. It's interesting you say that. I was with another group of ladies and they were talking about amplifying each other's voices, where you clear space to let somebody else's voice be heard. So I think that's quite nice. So women supporting women. So in your career, you've taken a number of different lateral moves. For example, moving from finance and now obviously over to tech. So tell me a little bit more about that.
The longest time in my career, Vanessa, when I was earlier on in my career, I've gone to my bosses and said, I'll do the jobs no one wants to do because it's very hard and it's not very sexy, or it's very hard work and very challenging. And I said, I'll be the first one to do, right? Mm-hmm. And then it became a point, right, to say, what is my next move? And my boss would never be able to, or bosses would never be able to say, here is a career path, right?
Yeah.
Then I told myself that when you're in certain situations, people put you in a box if they've known you for a long time, Vanessa. They would say, this is all Vanessa or Prasanna can do, right?
Yep.
Because I've seen you only in that limelight. In those situations, I've then told myself, maybe a place outside of this organization is not a bad idea, or even moving out of a division into another division where they could see you through a different limelight, right? That's what got me thinking into move out of organizations into different organization. Very later on in my career, I actually did my MBA while doing my job full-time as well as managing a family. So up until my youngest one actually went off to college, I stayed in the same geographical area in Boston because it was important for my kids to stay in the same school that they went to. After my youngest went off to college, it gave me a little bit more flexibility and I started to move to other organizations. An advice I would give for every woman is you need to manage your career. It's important to let others know that you're ambitious. Let others know. That's one thing I did not do the whole lot, Vanessa, where I could have tapped into a broader network. A lot of things, I took things personal. Maybe it's me that I'm not ready for it. The more women I talk to now realize that, hey, everybody's going through the same journey, right? And that's one advice I would say is talk early to more and more men and women. There's a lot of men who've been part of my journey, who's helped me give stretch opportunities and helped me around. So the most important thing is share what your ambitions are, what you want to do, right?
Some
otherwise, nobody
tips.
Can help you.
But also, we tend to be our worst critic, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because we won't know whether or not we're ready, because when a job role opens, we say, maybe I'm not ready, right? We want to be super sure or comforting from someone else here from you, you're ready for the role, right? We never say, I'm already ready for the role.
Or we feel that we have to tick every single box,
exactly,
you know, before we can actually go, which you don't. For those listening, you certainly don't. You can learn as you go. So mentors and sponsors. In terms of your career, have mentors and sponsors played an integral part? And if so, how have they helped you?
I would say a lot of mentors around me, right, through my network. I wouldn't say one pinpoint one particular sponsor. I sponsor a lot more women now than I had sponsorship. Again, from stemming from the perspective of I didn't reach out to a lot more men and women in my journey, I would say a lot more women mentors. And so I'm part of this strong women CXO connections very early on. And then I reached out to them. Even simple things like you have a very difficult situation at work. How do you deal with it? And we're so, women specifically are very reluctant to open up because we're constantly worried about how am I going to be perceived in my workplace. I have a really big backing of my board members in the companies that I worked with had women, and I reached out to them, and they're great. They're great mentors to me. They opened up a lot of their challenges that they went along. So I had so many mentors I'm thankful to, and I'm not giving as much as I got. I'd say I have a long debt to pay for, and I still continue to do. Whoever calls me, reaches out to me, I'll always make time for them.
I think that's really important that you have that personal boardroom, isn't it? That kind of, whether it's the sisterhood or whether it's just confidence that you can go to just to have a bit of a sounding board and to bounce your ideas.
Yeah, I mean, and also confirm for you that some of the fears you have is not personal. It's not just for you. Every woman has gone through that. Yeah. There was one of my board members who I worked with. She said how she had to negotiate her way around in terms of salary. She was the CFO of the one of the topmost companies in the U.S., but she had many men who were working for her who made twice as her, yep. And the HR didn't do anything about it. And she had to go fight her way to the CHRO and said, you need to change my salary structure. There are many men who are working for me who are making more than me, and lobby for herself. And she gave an ultimatum to them to say, look, if you don't change this, I'm going to actually go elsewhere.
Yep.
And feel the mental freedom to say, I am truly going to make that promise and move up, walk away from. And sometimes it's hard when you hear from somebody who's very senior, who's gone through these challenges, then you know that, look, a lot of women go through this. We just don't hear from each other.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, it's not about me. It's not anything personal. Everybody's in the same boat.
And I think there is this perception that we as women don't like asking for money. We don't like asking for more, do we?
Yeah,
when actually we fundamentally deserve it. Tell me a little bit more about your role at Sky.
So it's been 6 months since I joined Sky. I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Yeah.
So some of my colleagues here say that you still come back into work, right? I love every moment of what I do at Sky. We're a very innovative company, very different from a financial services firm, very risk-focused, but it's the same. We serve customers, B2C customers and B2B customers. So a lot of innovation at Sky is going on. Do you know we launched Sky Gloss?
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. We have a lot more to go. I can't say every single innovation we're working on, but super, super thrilled to be part of this innovation journey and taking my organization of very talented people. Sometimes in tech, it's very hard for others to share how complex it is.
Yeah.
But my job that I love is how to share what we do, the complexity, and reduce the complexity for my business stakeholders to say what we do, because we really do so many cool things, and take my organization in an even more strategic manner and be a part of something very big at Sky.
You're exceptionally passionate about equality, diversity, and inclusion. Tell me a little bit more about where that passion stems from.
Oh, it's very near and dear to my heart. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I come from a very, very modest background, Vanessa, so I'm happy for every opportunity that's been given to me, every people who have made a difference to me. So it's important being an inclusive culture, not just for the diversity of who you are, whether you're a female or you have a different color and background and culture. It's also the diversity of thought, both men in men and women, brings innovation to a workplace, right?
Yeah.
And it is also a reflection of the customers and the communities we serve in, right? And so it's very important. I truly believe that diversity and inclusion brings creativity and innovation to the work to the working environment. And it's important that we get ahead of it. It's very hard to change that perspective, right? And the mindset. We have a long way to go. So I'm passionate about making a difference at Sky and taking us and moving forward and making huge progress here.
Were you in the right place? Because, you know, having worked with Sky for the past 7 years, they've done some absolutely incredible things in that space. So talk to me about one piece of advice. So as we close the interview and people being inspired by your story, what is the one piece of career advice that you would like to give to them?
What I would say to them is think big and be bold and ambitious and have the courage to go after it, right? Sky's the limit.
Pardon the pun.
Yes. That don't be discouraged by people around you or the barriers that come your way, right? And one of the themes for the International Women's Day is about break the bias.
Yeah.
You will have barriers, but assume that we have progressed a long way and we have a long way to go as well. Have the courage to go after anything you wish to go after. There's enough people around you to help you resolve all those challenges.
Fantastic.
That would be my
advice.
One advice.
What's next for Prasanna? What legacy would you like to leave? And where is your focus going to be, say, in the next 12 months?
One area that, as I told you, I have a lot of debt to cover because a lot of people have given me opportunities, Vanessa. So one area that I want to passionately go after is mental health and depression. And I'm seeing that is something that is impacting the entire world, young or older, especially mental health among young adults is an area of big passion for me. That would be something that I would like to create an impact on, especially with the pandemic. We're seeing a lot more younger, both children and younger adults going through this. I have some personal situations where I've seen some of my friends go through with their children. In U.S., it's a big issue. In our own public school where my kids grew up, there were like 4 kids who committed suicide. I saw some of them up close.
Yeah.
So It's also an intriguing mystery to me how it's easier for you to know when you have a cut on your hand or if you have a headache or you have a heart disease. It's very well known. Lack of awareness in this area is very, very difficult to penetrate. So that's my next passion I want to go after. I've done a lot with my corporate career, but I want to go after mental health, young adults, and how can I help solve for them?
So Prasanna, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you about your career. Absolute incredible journey. And I'm sure you'll go on to achieve even more success, but an inspiration to us all. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Vanessa, for giving me an opportunity and asking these nice questions. And your career and your background is super impressive. So I'm so humbled to have been interviewed by you as well. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Priya, for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Priya, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please subscribe and rate the podcast and give it an all-important 5-star review. And keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.